We started a new series last week called Homegrown. Somebody say homegrown. Now, there's a difference when something's homegrown. It just tastes better, doesn't it? I mean, when something's homemade, there's a difference in it. There's a quality in it. You can taste the love. You can taste the difference. Number one thing we hear people say over and over and over when they come to Victory is it just feels like home. It feels like home. How many of you have found a home at Victory Church? I love that. You know, for many of us, amen, come on, let's give God praise for that. This don't happen everywhere. I don't want to take it for granted. For many of us, this family has become more family to us than even our own blood relationship. And so I see some heads going, yeah, that's me right here. But people say, it just feels like home. Well, why is that? It's because the presence of God is in this place. It's because Jesus said, where two or three gather together in my name, I'm going to show up there. It's because there's joy unspeakable. It's because there's peace that passes all understanding. It's because there's love that never fails in this house. It's because we value and treasure each person and treat them with dignity and respect, because no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've been through, and no matter what you've done, Jesus Christ shed his blood for you at the cross of Calvary. And at the cross, we're all of equal value to him. We're all worth celebrating, amen? We all carry his divine potential on the inside of us. That means possibility. That means hope. That means things and treasures yet to be discovered on the inside of you, which excites me because I believe God has brought us this March to a season when it is your moment to discover your divine potential and allow it to bloom and flourish in your life so the world can see how big your God is. So we grow. You put people in an atmosphere like this, we grow. We're thriving. As a church, we're growing and thriving. As individuals, we're growing and thriving. We're discovering God's potential in us day by day. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and here's what it says. I'm going to read it from the New King James first. It says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Let's read it out of the New Living. It says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk. You must crave. How many of y'all ever had a craving? Right? I'm talking about a hankering. You know what I'm saying. When you just get a knack for something, you got to have it right now. You'll drive an hour to go get it. A craving. You must crave. You must crave. Come on, I want to hear from you. I'm going to come rub it on you. You got to crave the word. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into full experience of salvation. How many of you know there's more to being born again than saying, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, punch my get out of hell free card? You got to grow into everything else. So the Bible says when you crave his word, it gives us the ability to grow. So if I'm going to grow, it cannot happen apart from the word. And God being the amazing illustrationist that he is and communicator that he is, he uses something we can see to help us understand that which we can't see. All of us have been babies at some point. All of us know somebody with a baby. Maybe you're sitting beside a baby today. And so God says, I want you to crave my word the same way a baby craves milk. Many times we think that this is just talking about new believers, but he is saying, I don't ever want you to change from being like a child in the way you crave milk, in the way you crave my word. Jesus said, unless you're like one of these little ones, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is an area, church, where we cannot outgrow our need and our desire for his word. Can you say amen today? Because milk is a life source for babies. Milk is the first thing that a baby needs. And there's some things in milk that you cannot find anywhere else. I want to give you a little bit of a science lesson today, because when I studied this, it blew my mind. Milk actually contains something called colostrum. Colostrum. They refer to it as liquid gold. Farmers know what it is. It's first milk. First milk. And colostrum is literally a living fluid. It resembles blood in its composition. It actually contains over 60 components. 30 of them are exclusive to human milk. It's rich in nutrients like zinc, calcium, vitamins A, B6, B12, and K. And so a baby needs that milk for their overall growth, for their overall development, not just body, but also mind. That colostrum is packed with carbohydrates for energy. It's packed with protein for muscle building. And here's what I love. It's full of antibodies. In other words, that milk has antibiotics already in it. The great physician gave us antibiotics in the milk so that when that baby drinks the milk, it actually has the power to defend it from becoming sick and diseased and weak. Amen. He gives us something we can see to help us understand the things we can't see. It's easily digested. It prepares the baby's digestive system for more complex and mature food sources. And colostrum is high in cholesterol, which is important because it's essential for a baby's nervous system at that stage to grow. It contains protein, which makes that baby feel full in its belly so it can sleep longer at night. Now, again, this is not just suggesting that new believers only should crave the word. He is saying never stop craving the word in the same way that a little baby craves and cries out for milk. He said we ought to desire the word. He said we ought to long for the word. He said there should be an intense craving and an addiction for the word. I gotta have the word. He says the same way milk is the first thing a baby needs. Can I tell you that this is the first and most important thing that you need in your life? He says the same way milk is the starting place for that little baby. He says the word of God is the starting place and the finishing place for every born again believer. Hallelujah. He says the same way milk contains things you cannot get anywhere else. He's saying the word of God has contents inside it that you cannot find anywhere else. They are exclusive to God's word. They will build you up. They are full of antibiotics that will protect you from spiritual diseases. It will protect you from sin. It is full of spiritual protein that'll make you feel full at night so that when you lay down your head on that pillow, your sleep will be peaceful and restful because there is a satisfaction on the inside of you. He says that milk is what helps your nervous system so you can get the anxiety out of your life. You can get the worry out of your life. You can literally sleep like a baby because of the milk of God's word. Come on, somebody ought to get happy about the word today. He says the same way a daily dose of the milk is essential. It's critical. It's vital for the development and nourishment of that baby. He says a daily dose of the word is essential to the development and growth of the life of a born-again believer. He says we cannot and we will not grow apart from the word. If you're going to grow, you've got to be a man of the word. You've got to be a woman of the word. And here's what I want to say to you today. You feed a baby milk every day, right? Every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that baby's having milk. He said, in the same way, every day that baby's got to have milk. He said, every born-again believer ought to be craving God's word in their life every day. And what we call that daily time in the word is a devotion. How many of you have devotions with God every day? It is critical to your life. You know, one of the reasons why we provide CDs for you for free at the kiosk in the lobby is because the more you listen to it and the more you feed on it, the more it strengthens you and the more you receive it. It's why we have the app so that you can get on there and listen to God's word. We've got renewal fuel for you. Every week in the bulletin, there's 3 chapters a day that we read together. If you don't have a plan for reading your Bible, I want to encourage you to start participating with us on that renewal fuel. You can find it on your app, Victory Now. It's in your app store on your phone, and it will even read that to you on the days you're in a hurry and you're on the run so that you can get God's word into your diet. But the word devotion, somebody say devotion. It means this. Devotion means to love. Devotion is to love. It means loyalty. When we're devoted to somebody, there's a loyalty there. It means enthusiasm for a person or for a cause. It's the act of private prayer and worship. And so if we're going to grow, then we've got to devo. You got to grow in your devos. You got to grow in your devotional life every single day. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." That means when I receive God's word, he is releasing into me his spirit and his life. The word of God fuels me. The word of God ignites me. The word of God inspires me. The word of God encourages us. It empowers us. It uncovers the areas we need to be exposed. It accelerates our growth. It educates us. It anoints us with the Holy Spirit. It unlocks our potential. And there is no substitute for this book we call the Bible. It is the bestseller throughout history. Over 5 billion copies sold. Not one other book even runs a close second. The Bible is the greatest book ever published. And the word Bible comes from the Greek word Biblia. It means the library. It's a collection of books. This is literally life's library. And in this library, it is a collection of 66 individual books written over 1,500 years by more than 35 writers. And here's what I like about it, y'all. Some of them are educated, some of them are ignorant. Some of them were kings, some were farmers, some were physicians, some were fishermen, and one was a Pharisee. You know, if you get 35 people out of us today in a room together, we can't agree on what to eat for lunch. But you know, the Bible never contradicts itself once. It's full of prophecy. It is alive. It is more relevant today than the headlines on Fox News. It not only tells us what's happened in the past, it tells us what God is doing in your life today, and it tells you what's coming in your future. Can you say amen this morning? So we need God's word desperately. In this life library we call the Bible, God himself offers the wisdom of the ages. The totality of human experience can be found within the pages of that book. And so I'm going to give you some things you need to understand today that I pray will give you a greater appreciation of God's word, but more importantly, a hunger in your heart that cannot be satisfied any other way, but a daily time spent alone with God in his presence and in his word. The first one is very simply this. Number one, your devo is the one thing that changes everything. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them it's time to devo. It's the one thing that changes everything. There is not a greater indicator of how much you will grow than your devo. Your devo is the key to walking in victory every day. It's the key to consistency in your life. Your devo is the key to staying in God's will every day. I don't believe you have to miss God's will for your life. Your devo is the key to living in the blessing of God. It is the key to accessing your inheritance in Christ as you understand that his best belongs to you right now because of the blood of Jesus. Your devo is the key to keeping your heart aligned with the Father's heart. It's the key to maintaining balance, to staying fresh, to discovering your purpose, and to reaching your potential in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Acts 17, "For in him I live and I move and I have my being." He said, spending time with him is more important than the next breath I take, more important than the blood in my veins, more important than the next thing I drink or the next thing I eat. It is that essential in my life, Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There is life in God's word. Number two, your devo is the most important thing you do every day. There is nothing more important you will do every single day than spending time with God in his word. You say, "Josh, I got a lot of important stuff going on." I promise you, there's nothing more important than you do every day than spending time with God in his word. I love in Luke chapter 10, we see a story of Jesus coming to some of his friend's house, a man by the name of Lazarus. He had two sisters, Martha and Mary. And Jesus comes into their house, and one of the sisters, Mary, sits at Jesus' feet. She's hanging on every word he says. She's fascinated. She's sitting there with him face to face. Martha, on the other hand, is rushing around. She's cooking the ham loaf, whipping up the fruit salad, and giving Mary the stank eye. She's like, and she thinks she's going to eat lunch? I don't think so. Sitting there doing nothing. And so Mary could feel that pressure, but she's focused on Jesus. And Martha was all wound up and she was all bent out of shape. And I want to drop in on the conversation and show you what Jesus says. And there is a critical truth here for us to grab hold of and live every day. Jesus says there is only one thing worth being concerned about. He says, Martha, I know you got a lot going on. I know you're worried about a lot of stuff. I know you're busy. He said, but there is only one thing worth being concerned about. In the complexity of our lives, with so much going on and so many moving parts, Jesus takes all of our life and he boils it down to one critical item. He says, Mary has discovered it and it will not be taken from her. What was that one thing? It was spending time with Jesus. It was spending time at his feet. It was spending quality time, one-on-one, face-to-face, eye-to-eye. You say, Josh, is it really that simple? Could it really be that easy? Could it really just be one thing? Not 10 things, not 12 to do, not 7 steps. Jesus said, one thing is the difference maker in your life. This thing is the thing that changes everything. This is the most important. And here's what it is. Quiet, unhurried time with him where we block out the demands of life. Mary felt the pressure. Mary knew the demands, but somehow she was able to say, sis, talk to the hand because I'm spending time with Jesus. Somehow in our lives, there's got to be a way to do the exact same. And when we spend time with him, when you shut yourself away into that secret place of prayer, into time alone with God every single day for your Devo, can I tell you that the voice of demand, just like Martha barking at Mary, is going to be there in your ear. Everything on your to-do list is going to start screaming at you. But we've got to be able to close that out. Psalm 46:10, one of my favorite scriptures says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Can I tell you today that unless we get still before him, you can't know him. And in our ADD generation, where it's so hard to sit still and it's so hard to pay attention and we don't like to be alone and we don't like to be quiet, this is difficult to do. But it takes discipline for us to accomplish it. He says in Psalm 32, verse 8, he says it like this. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I don't know about y'all, but I need to know the way I should go. Because I've gone some other ways. I need to know the way to go. He said, I will guide you with my eye. That's a promise God wants to do for you. But look at what he says in the very next verse as he makes a connection. He says, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle. Else they will not come near you. Think about what he's saying. He's saying, don't be like the horse or like the donkey who won't come near unless you make them. He says, I want to guide you. I want to direct you. I want to show you the way to go. I want to show you the path you should take. But I got to get you just to come near me. And so much of the time, we're like that horse. We're like that donkey. And we just won't come near because we've got this to do and we've got that to do. Number three today, your daily Devo gives him access to your heart. I love that because every day I get to bring my heart before him and I get to let him examine it. I get to let the word scrub away the world in my life because we have a way of picking up the residue of the world upon us. And in those moments that I'm with him and his word, spending time with him, listening to what he has to say, there's an exchange taking place as I give him a piece of my heart in exchange for a piece of his heart. In that moment, I'm decreasing and he's increasing. I'm becoming less and he's becoming more. He's becoming greater on the inside of me. And in that time together in my daily Devo with him, watch this, I exchange who I pretend to be for who he created me to be. Now that's important because we do a good job at being pretenders. You don't have to say amen right there, but we all know it's true. I get to exchange who I pretend to be for who he created me to be. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. He says, only in returning to me and resting in me, only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In returning to me, every day God wants us to return to him. Every day he wants us to rest in him. Shall you be saved? In quietness and confidence is your strength. In that time with him, I can exchange a piece of my time for his peace of mind. He settles my soul. He restores the quietness. He restores the confidence that I need to succeed. But I love what he finishes by saying. He says, but you would have none of it. I wonder how many of us that's true of. We don't take time to devo every day. We don't take time to get alone with him every day. We let other things creep in that are noble, that are important, but it crowds out the one thing that changes everything. Number four today, your devo helps you avoid heartbreak and regret. You know, the Bible is raw. I mean, it is unfiltered, it is unedited, there is nothing politically correct. God doesn't cover anything up, he lays it out bare, it's not sugar-coated. I mean, there are things in that book that sometimes it just blows your mind, it will make you blush, it will make your hiney tight, because you're like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that's actually in there and that God said that. I mean, there is nothing that he don't touch, there's not a topic he doesn't go over, everything is inside the Word of God. That's why I'm blown away and people say it's a boring book. How in the world could it be boring? But we get a front row seat to see people's lives. You know, the original concept of reality TV came from God. He gave us a window into their lives, which means that we don't have to make the same mistakes they made. We don't have to be defeated by denial like Peter. We don't have to be overcome by insecurity like Saul. We don't have to lose the lust like David. We don't have to cave into the compromise of complaining like the children of Israel in the wilderness. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11 says that all these things happen to them as examples. In other words, something for us to look at and learn from. And he says, and they were written. Well, where were they written? In the Word of God. They were written for your admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages has come. That means God wrote it all down for you. And the voice of regret always sounds like this. The voice of regret says, I just wish I knew then what I know now. If I only knew then what I know now, I would have done it different. I wouldn't have wrecked my marriage. I wouldn't have destroyed my children. I wouldn't have ruined my health. I wouldn't have done that business deal. If I only knew then what I know now. Can I tell you, church, that you have the ability to know then what you know now simply through the Word of God? Because as we look at their mistakes, we can learn from them. We're not so different than each other. Satan wants to convince you that you're going through something nobody else is. Can I tell you, that's a lie? The person on the other end of the row from you today is probably going through the same stuff. And if they're not right now, then they did at a different time. So the totality of human experience is already contained inside the pages of this book. That means that I don't have to waste years and I don't have to cry gallons of tears learning life's lessons the hard way if I just spend time doing my devotion. Neglecting your devo time will cause more problems in your life than anything else, hands down. It will save us a lifetime of regret and unnecessary suffering. I was talking with someone earlier and they said, I've spent years in the Word and studying, yet I haven't avoided these struggles and these hardships and these things. And I just begin to share with them that the Bible doesn't promise that attack wouldn't come. It promises that when the dust settles, you'd still be standing. You don't study your way out of struggle. You don't study your way out of suffering. You don't study your way out of attack from the enemy. Let me tell you what it does do. It gives you strength because the Holy Spirit knows what you need and he knows what's coming down the road. He knows that temptation's on the way to you. He knows there's a storm coming to your house. The Bible didn't say the storm wouldn't come. The Bible said you just get to decide what foundation you build your house on. If you build it on the rock, you'll obey it. If you build it on the sand, you'll ignore it. So that when the storm hits, you have the power to still be standing and your house is intact. That's the foundation of God's word for your life. Number five, devo is your, I love this one. It is your daily appointment with mighty men and women of God. It is your daily appointment with mighty men and women of God. We say this a lot. You are who you hang with. You are who you hang with. As a matter of fact, the Bible in Proverbs says it like this. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools is destroyed. He who walks with wise men shall be wise, That tells me that there is a component of wisdom that is not taught, it's caught. It comes from impartation. It comes from proximity. It comes from who's closest to you, because what's on them gets on you. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Well, somebody says, well, that's just great because I'm surrounded by idiots. I'm married to an idiot. I gave birth to idiots. I got idiots for in-laws. I work around idiots everywhere I go. There are people sucking the life out of me. Some of y'all are like nodding your head and you're about to drop names. Don't do that. This is resonating way too much. Your influences are completely negative. And so when you hear me say you are who you hang with, you're like, this stinks. I'm trapped. So I'm going to become like them. What am I going to do? Here's the answer. Every single day you devo, the mightiest men and women of God on the face of this planet that He chose to give you a window into their hearts and lives, you get to spend time with. And so as you do, the pages of this book become alive for you. It's alive and it's powerful. And inside its pages are mighty men and women like Joseph, who was thrown into a pit and into prison and sold into slavery in Potiphar's house. But he kept being a man of integrity. He kept doing what was right even when everybody else did what was wrong. And in time, he grew into God's dream and he was promoted to the penthouse, and God elevated him and the dream came to pass. You get to spend time walking with David. I want you to think about him as he sits in the ashes at Ziklag, and the enemy had come and taken his family, burned down their houses. The men are weeping until they got no tears left, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes on David and he stands up in the ashes and in the smoldering ruins as he's missing his family. He encourages himself in the Lord and he goes, kicks the enemy's tail, and he takes back what the enemy stole from him. Can I tell you, that's what's waiting for you in that book. You can meet with Daniel, a man who refused to compromise and cave in. You can go and walk with Noah. You can talk with John the Baptist and Peter and Ruth and Esther and Deborah and Priscilla and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who through faith and obedience was elevated and God blessed her. But you know what he says? He says, more blessed than Mary, the mother of Jesus, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Can I tell you, there is a greater blessing for the obedient than for Mary herself. If you hear the word of God and you act on it, he said you are more blessed than the breast that nursed him. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word today. Their perspective, their insight, it rubs off on us. And Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, in heaven there's a set of grandstands, and in those grandstands are these mighty men and women of faith, and they are cheering you on and they are cheering me on. And you have the ability to go and meet with him every day. You've got a meeting. You've got an appointment that cannot be broken. If you're living your life surrounded by idiots and surrounded by people who are sucking the life out of you, all the more reason to make this a priority. Amen. Because there are people who have a negative influence on our life, and we have got to get with the one who can make a difference in every single one of us. Number six, as the band comes today. Number six, your devo, and this is where the rubber hits the road. Your devo is your responsibility. Nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. My pastor says, talk's cheap, it costs money to ride the bus. This is where the rubber meets the road, because it costs you to devo every day. It costs you time. Time is like money. You can save it. You can spend it. You can invest it. And so time is what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you discipline. Somebody say discipline. Because your devo is not always going to be convenient. It's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always, let me just give you a reality check, it's not always going to be exciting. Sometimes it's going to feel like a drag. Sometimes reading your Bible is the last thing you want to do. Sometimes it feels like it's bursting to life and jumping off the pages. And other days you're like, I don't have the first clue what I'm reading about. I don't understand it. I'm wondering why I'm even doing this. And yet you know that even those parts of the Bible are still inspired by God. And even though it might not apply to your life right this second, there's coming a situation in your future where it will. and I've got to plant it inside of my heart because I need a harvest on that wisdom down the road, and the Lord knows what's coming in my life. Can I tell you, you just make better decisions when you're in that book every day. It may not even be talking about your situation, but because God has breathed himself into these pages, as you read how he thinks, it changes the way you think. And all of a sudden, things become clear, and I start making better decisions with my life. The benefits of it aren't even always immediate. But just like a farmer sowing seed, he doesn't sow his seed and the next day throw a fit, bust his pitchfork in half, kick his tractor tire and say, I quit. Nothing happened. No, he knows that harvest is on the way. There is a harvest of wisdom on the way for you. And here's what I know. I know the pain of discipline costs far less than the pain of regret. The pain of discipline costs far less than the pain of regret in your life. You've got to know today that Devo works over time, not overnight. God's optimum speed for doing things in your life, get ready for me to bust your bubble, is slow. Good things grow slowly. Good fruit grows slowly. Oak grows slowly. God grows things of quality. He grows things of beauty, but they come over time, not overnight, like a trickle charger on a dead battery. And let me just say right here that your Bible is not a magic book. It is not a lucky rabbit's foot. It is not a lucky charm. It is not a chain letter, right? How many of you had a family Bible growing up? Just wave at me. You know what I'm talking about? That one that was about 11 times the size of this one sat on the coffee table in the living room. Nobody ever touched it. We thought it would run the devil off and disease just because of how big it was. Nobody ever got it out. That's not the way the Word of God works. The Word of God works when we deposit it in our life, when we begin to live it. Jesus was the Word made flesh. Why did he walk in the miraculous? Because he took the Word of God and he lived it out every single day. And it was releasing the power of God in his life. Somebody says, well, Josh, how do I know what version of the Bible to use? I've heard that some of them aren't godly or this or that or the other. Listen, don't get bent out of shape on that stuff. Satan is trying to sidetrack you and keep you out of God's word. Just get in the Bible. Find one that fits you. Find the one that you like the best. I like New King James. I like New Living. Maybe you like NIV. Maybe you like Amplified. Maybe you like some other one. But let me tell you, spending time in the Word of God, he will direct you to the one that fits you the best, because it's easier to direct something that's already in motion than to direct something that's not moving at all. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. If you just start stepping, he'll start directing your path. You say, well, Josh, I hate to read. Well, I was with you. I graduated high school and college with a business degree and never read one book. I kid you not. I read my first book after I moved Marsha back here in the summer of 2000, met her parents, and I went home, and as I was flying home, I read my first book on the Holy Spirit. You say, Josh, I don't like to read. Okay, you like to listen? You can listen. Listen on the app. Download you an app that reads the Bible to you, the Bible app. Get you a box set out there in the bookstore and play the Bible so that you can listen to it. Somebody said, well, Josh, the Bible's just so big. It's discouraging even to look at. I don't even know where to start. Listen, let me put it to you simple so that you can understand it like I need it put to me. You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You know how you feed on God's word? One scripture at a time, one chapter at a time, one day at a time, one concept at a time. God teaches it to you layer by layer by layer. You don't have to know it all at once. Don't get frustrated. Don't get discouraged. And whatever you do, don't give up. But when you need to make a change, start small, but start now. Make that change in your life today. Somebody say, well, what time of day should I Devo? Well, that's up to you. When are you your best? Give God your best. Maybe you're your best in the morning. Maybe you're your best by noon. Maybe you're your best mid-afternoon. Maybe you're your best before you go to bed. Give God your best time of day, and he will speak the loudest to you in your life. Consistency, though, is the key to growth. During the World Wars, there was a man in Poland by the name of Ignacy Jan Paderewski. He was a Polish concert pianist. And the government enlisted him to play the piano to raise money for the war effort. And he said, okay, fine, I'll do it, but I need 3 hours a day where I do nothing but play all the major and minor scales all day long, every single day. And here's what he said. He said, when I miss one day of practicing scales, I notice. He said, when I miss 2 days of practicing scales, my coach notices. But when I miss 3 days of practicing my scales, the world notices. And I come to tell you today that when you miss your Devo one day, you notice. And when you miss your Devo 2 days, those closest to you who know you best will notice. But when you miss it 3 days, the entire world's gonna notice. It's time for us, church, to not neglect the opportunity we have to be in His Word every single day, to spend time investing our life into what He invested into us and allowing it to come alive in us so that we can live the life He's called us to live. We're not satisfied to be kingdom anymore. We are a people who know the truth, and the truth we know shall set us free. Stand with me this morning. Seventh and last one is simply this. Your Devo is a sacred enclosure. It's a sacred enclosure. The sequoia is the largest species of tree on planet Earth. Some of them grow to be over 1,000 years old, hundreds of feet tall. And so when one of these giants falls, everybody pays attention. In April of 2003, two of them fell at the same time in Yosemite Park, over 200 feet tall. They were somewhere between 300 and 700 years old. But what I found to be absolutely fascinating was there was no windstorm. There was no fire. There was no lightning strike. There was no flood. There was no insect damage. The park rangers and forestry experts, as they studied the trees, here's what they found out. They found out that year after year, the millions upon millions of people who had come to see those trees, the foot traffic around their base had damaged their roots to the point where they no longer drew up the nutrients and could support their own weight. And so in time, they fell over. And I begin to think about that in my life and in our lives. And what happened was the park rangers took and they built fences around the trees. They built enclosures and said, nobody can go inside of here anymore. We've got to protect the roots because they're essential to the tree standing. And I just wonder how many here today have damaged root systems. We've been trampled by life. Just the amount of foot traffic alone that we experience day in and day out as life happens, as stresses compound, as we go through difficulties, we're weary, we're fed up, we're worn out, we feel like giving up, and it's a matter of time before we fall. We've let our Devo life be neglected and let it slide. But what if I told you today that doesn't have to happen? Yeah. That doesn't have to be your story. Yeah. You don't have to fall. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Guard your heart. Build a fence around your heart. Section off the roots of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Every single day we take time to spend with God, we are fencing off our root systems. We are saying nobody can come in here. It's just that important. Your daily Devo is the enclosure around the roots that is going to save you from falling. It's going to save you in the time of storm. It's going to save you in the dry seasons of your life, because when you set your roots down into the Word of God, you will draw up what you need, and there won't be a season that you're not prospering. There won't be a season that you're not fruitful. Come on, church. There is power in the Word of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, revive us again according to your word. Father, today in the name of Jesus, give birth to a passion for your word, a craving for the word. God, we want to grow in you, but we acknowledge we can't do it apart from your word. God, let your word examine us. We don't walk out of the house without looking in the mirror. Father, let us not walk out of the house without looking into the word every single day. God, weigh us, show us the areas of our life that you want to transform. Speak to us, God. Let the quiet place never again be silent. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that it come alive to us. I pray, God, that we would see the power of your word. We pray for a revival of your word. We pray that your word run through our region. We pray that there would be a groundswell of response to the word of God. We thank you, God, that it's through your word we're partakers of the divine nature. Thank you today that it's through your word we have exceedingly great and precious promises. Thank you, God, that it's through the word we are perfected in your love and fear is casted out of our hearts. Thank you, God, today that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Thank you that we're disciples because of your word and the truth we know makes us free. Thank you, Jesus, that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God, we hide your word in our hearts. We don't want to sin against you. How can a young man cleanse his way? By living according to your word. God, weigh the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth and let them be found to be pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus,